Hello and welcome to In Business Talks 2. We're thrilled to welcome you to our bonus episode, The Friday Fix. In our bonus episode, we will be discussing a business-related subject with either one of our wonderful In Business Networking members or a fellow business owner, which will be sharing their advice, thoughts or knowledge on a particular topic.
We're your hosts, Tracy and Ian Earle, founders of In Business, a networking and business support community. We host online and face-to-face events, and we'd love to meet you, so why not come along? The link to book is in the show notes. And welcome to our Friday Fix today. We have with us Neil Roberts of Momentum Sales Consulting. Welcome, Neil.
Welcome, Neil. Good to have you with us today.
Good to see you. Glad to be here.
Thank you for coming along. Just before we start and get into finding out some of your tips and tricks and secrets, tell us a little bit about what you do, Neil.
Okay. All right. So I set up Momentum Sales Consulting in April this year. So it's only just over 6 months that I've been operating. And prior to that, I had a 35-year career in senior sales leadership roles, primarily in IT and telecoms. And I figured, you know, I could impart some of that knowledge that I hope I've gained over those 35 years to help some other businesses to grow. And so in terms of sales growth, I help clients in three ways. I tell them I can work with them, I can work for them, or I can teach them how. So working with them is offering advisory, consultancy, strategy, services. So helping them to align the sales strategy with the overall business strategy, helping them shape their sales organization if they have one, or if indeed they want to grow to the point where they're into recruiting people, I can help them with that process. I'm not a recruiter as such, but I can help them make sure they get the right people in the right job.
Yeah,
position,
right,
you know.
Right.
No. So that's working with you. Working for you is I take on fractional or interim sales positions, senior sales roles. If an organization needs to really get traction in their sales strategy, but they perhaps haven't reached a scale yet where they can afford to hire a full-time employee in a senior sales role, I could come in and do that on a fractional basis. So I currently have a contract, for instance, where I'm doing 10 days a month for a particular organization to do just that. So I take on a VP of sales role for them. Or it might be that it's an interim role. Perhaps they're struggling to recruit the right person because they want exactly the right person. But in the meantime, they have a sales team that needs to be managed and they need to still make sure they're on top of their big sales deals and so on. So I can come in and do that. So that's working for you. And then teach you how is I'll do sales training for existing sales teams. So that's typically in companies that already have your sales team structure and they want to upskill them. Whether they are seasoned sales professionals that just need that refresher or to think of some new ways to just put a new twist on some of the old skills that they've got, or if they might be brand new into sales. Maybe they've come in from project management or a technical role and they're new into sales and I can help them to get on board with that.
Right.
So you've got like very flexible business there that you've got.
Yeah. And coming from a tech background, I guess I've naturally levitated towards tech companies. It's not that that's a specific intention of mine, but when it comes to tech companies, I speak the same language. I've come from that background. I understand their market very well. So a lot of my engagements so far have been in that community. And for the fractional roles, I can help a lot there because typically the owners of new tech companies, very often they are the tech people. So they may have very strong technical skills. They might be software engineers. They might be, even perhaps they may be lawyers or whatever, but they don't necessarily have those commercial sales skills. So I can come alongside them and help them there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
So
sales is hard.
It's difficult, sales, I think.
Yeah.
I think sales is difficult.
Yeah, we can't do sales.
But you do. You see, that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize that actually what you are doing is selling. You're selling right now, really. You're selling your in-business services just by doing this. This is part of your sales process. And a lot of people don't realize it. Just engaging with clients in any particular way, you're part of the sales process. One of the other things to do is commercial awareness training for members of what you might consider the back office of an organization, but have a touch with clients. So they might be in accounts, or they might be in operations, they might be in the warehouse where they're just scheduling deliveries and that sort of thing. But if they touch a client, then they are part of your sales process, because impact they have on your client is very much part of your overall company positioning and how you're perceived. So we're all in sales.
True. Funny you should say that. Just briefly, I remember years ago, a company where I worked, we had a delivery guy, and it was one of our biggest clients. And I don't know what happened, but he massively upset one of our biggest clients just by delivering some products. And it took ages to sort of smooth things over. It was a bit touch and go, and it was worth a lot of money. And you're thinking, oh my God, but just his attitude was just...
Yeah, and obviously if you're directly involved in sales, then having the right attitude, of course, is key. And how you come across to your client, and that can be in terms of how you physically present it.
Yeah.
You don't want to go in looking shabby and like you've just come off the beach, or you've just come out of the workshop or whatever. You know, you don't want to be presented in a professional manner. But you also want to speak in a way that gives a sense of confidence and professional status. So your tonality is important, because you know it's different going into to meet a client saying hello as opposed to saying hello, how are you?
Yeah.
Nice to see you. You know,
what are some of the biggest challenges that you think salespeople face, especially today? Maybe.
Yeah, I think today is maintaining that kind of face-to-face contact. I think it's very easy for salespeople to hide behind their emails a lot of the time. And phone calls is better than an email, but you can't beat face-to-face. So getting that time face-to-face with a client is a challenge.
Yeah.
Gaining that commitment for them to meet with you face-to-face, where we know you can get the best bang for your buck, if you like, out of your time, is when you're face-to-face with a client. I really, truly still believe that. So that's a big challenge. But if you are leading up to that through email exchanges, through LinkedIn exchanges, then, you know, ghosting is a real problem, where, you know, you're exchanging emails, seems to be going all very well, and then silence, and you wonder why. What's going on? Is, you know, he's not interested anymore? Is he, you know, has he left the company? What is it? So there has to be an amount of persistence there, especially if you truly believe that client needs what you have. So you need a level of persistence there, you know, and just keep at it. There may well come a time when you need to walk away, right? I've had situations like that where you just think, look, this isn't going anywhere. This is wasting my time. I can more productively use my time elsewhere. And you have to just let it go. And that's hard as a salesperson at times to admit you need to just let an opportunity go. But if it's not really an opportunity, then you have to, you know.
Yeah, you have to bite the bullet and back out. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
There's never too far away from me is one of these. I don't, do you know what that is?
No.
It's a Weeble.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
You got it, right? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And that, you know, we get knocked down, but we have to get back up again, right? and it's a bit of a metaphor for not only where things have gone in my business, but also in life in general. I think, you know, we have to be resilient as salespeople and have a sense of fortitude about ourselves, that, you know, we're not going to get knocked down and stay down. We have to come back up fighting again.
Yeah,
Do you have to have a thick skin to be a true salesperson?
I think so. I think you do. However, what I talk a lot about these days is empathic selling. So although you have to maybe have that thick skin, you also have to be able to empathize with your client very much and see things from their perspective, understand their situation, find out why they've got the views they have, what's behind it, and really empathize with them. And I think the training that was given to salespeople when I was trained, you know, probably over 30 years ago now, a lot of it isn't really relevant to today. It was very structured, process-driven, follow a methodology, and also, you know, focus on closing with closing techniques to be
used.
Yes,
it was.
Often those closing techniques these days I don't think are so relevant anymore. If you have an empathic approach to your sales conversation, it will naturally lead you to a position where they'll want to buy. You're helping them to buy rather than trying to sell to them. And that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, it's not like the old-fashioned car salesman anymore, is it?
No, and you know, even in
a bit full,
even in car sales these days, I mean, there's a lot of professional selling goes on in car dealerships these days. They have to. It's a very competitive market, and it may be a bit different in some of the used car arenas, but certainly in the commercial dealerships these days, very highly professional.
And in your experience, what are sort of a couple of things that you think keep cropping up that salespeople tend to struggle with? What are their biggest, you know, not fears, but what are the biggest issues that they have?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that and that can really provide the greatest level of improvement, I think, is being able to handle objections on the fly.
Right.
If you need to say, and there might still come times when you need to say, look, I don't know the answer to that, and I'll have to do some homework and come back to you. But the more you can answer on the fly, the better. Yeah. And you're going to be much more successful that way versus the other sales guy that has got to go away and find the answer and come back if you've answered it there and then. So one of the secrets to that is be prepared with those questions you know are going to come all the time. If you've got a premium product or service and you know it's going to be more expensive than your competitors, be armed with the reasons why. So you can explain the extra value that you're giving, maybe the return on investment story, the whole life cost story, whatever it is, but be ready with that because you know it's coming.
Yeah.
Right? It might be that, you know, your product takes longer to deliver because it's handmade in your factory by, you know, highly skilled workers rather than factory produced somewhere else where it's got to be shipped in. So, you know, but be ready. That I think with those common objections. But I think you can often diffuse a lot of objections as well by just, you know, acknowledging them. First of all, you acknowledge it and be empathetic towards it. So understand a bit more why that objection exists and use it as an opportunity to find out more about your client's situation by asking more questions. So, okay, that's interesting. Interesting you say that. What is it that's causing you to think that? Have you had a bad experience that's made you think that way? Or is there something within your business that's causing you to be concerned about that? And use it as an opportunity just to find out some more. And just simply sometimes by talking it through, the objection can actually go away.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And often kindness kills objections. If you're just kind and nice through the whole process and not...
Yeah, they can't get angry with you, can they?
Yeah. You know, then they may not be so inclined to throw objections at you in the first place. So, there's a few things there.
What are some of the most common objections you've come across?
Oh, often it's usually about price. It's about price and delivery. They usually think, I can't wait that long, it's taking too long, or I can get it cheaper elsewhere. Oh, you know, in this world we're in now, of course, people can look up prices online on the internet very quickly, right? If it's a product, they can do a quick comparison on Google, find other products, what they cost. And often I will throw some fear, uncertainty and doubt in there because often prices that you find online, they might be good, but they might be products that are the end of life and they're just trying to get shot of them quickly because – you know, they need them out of the way, so they'll do a bit of a fire sale and sell them quickly. Can you guarantee the longevity of supply?
Yeah.
That might be a price today, but can you maintain that price for the next 18 months that you need continuity for, and so on. So start throwing in a bit of fear, uncertainty and doubt about that pricing sometimes. Or you may just need to rework your pricing. You might, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to lose margin, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to lose revenue. You might need to restructure your proposal in a different way that just becomes more palatable to your client without you actually losing any money.
Good. What are you sort of like, I'm going to put you on the spot here, I'm sorry about this, Neil. What are your perhaps three top tips for selling? Do you have a mantra? Do you have, you know, three secret skills that are useful, or what is it?
What is it? I would say, you know, going with a very positive attitude. By the way, you'll see me do this a lot, right? And you know what that's doing when you meet someone for the first time? It's a very sort of primal thing where we have in the bottom of our brain here a thing called an amygdala, and that controls that fight or flight mechanism that we have. Primates have it, we have it. And what that's saying is, that's saying, I'm not carrying a rock I'm going to crush you with, or I'm not carrying a dagger I'm going to stab you with. I'm a friend, right? And
You're unarmed.
Yeah, exactly. So when you meet someone,
when you do that,
immediately they feel sort of warm towards you, right? Because it's really, you know, in your primal part of your brain there, it says, okay, he's a friend. So just, you know, be nice, be calm and professional.
So your body language is important then, isn't it?
Body language is very important, and tone of voice as well is very important to make that good first impression. So if you want to summarize all that, give a good first impression.
Yeah.
Then it's ask lots of questions and open questions. That training that I've done from 30, 35 years, it hasn't changed. Ask open questions, not closed questions. So try and frame questions that aren't yes, no answers. So what, how, when, why. And because it gets them talking more, you'll find out more from the client that is useful to you. And then I think, you know, just be kind. Be kind through the whole process. Be empathetic towards them, understanding what they say. And then when you've asking the right questions, you're finding the right things you need to know that you can then position your product solution with. If you do that all in a very empathic way, it's going to lead to a sale.
Right.
Yeah, nobody likes the aggressive salesman, do they?
No, people don't buy from them anymore, do they? You get put off straight away, isn't it? I mean, it's when you go, I don't think it's the same as it used to be. When you used to go into somewhere like an electrical shop, when you're looking at TVs, somebody comes straight up to you and say, oh, and you think, oh, no, leave me alone, I'm just looking. Yeah. And immediately it puts you off, doesn't it? You want to think, oh, just get me out of here. I was looking, I was all right. If I wanted help, I'd have asked.
And I suppose a modern equivalent to that is when we add people on LinkedIn. You know, we might send a request to add somebody on LinkedIn. And if we then immediately follow up with a direct message saying, oh, no, glad you connected. I've got to offer you this service, this product. Can we have a chat? Can we have a call? You know, you're immediately sort of put off, aren't you, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same. I think that's a sort of modern-day equivalent to that.
Yeah.
Try and build up some rapport and a kind of relationship through liking their comments, liking their posts, commenting on their posts. So they start to get to know you and that you're in their world, if you like. And then at a later date, then you can make a gentle approach. You know?
Yeah. It's a bit like now. It's like building relationships, really, isn't it? It's about building relationships, isn't it?
It's all about relationship building because people buy from people. Yeah. That's still true.
Yeah. And it's true, isn't it? They do, If you like someone, you're more likely to buy from them than some you don't, aren't you?
Yeah, and you can't argue somebody to a sale either, by the way, going back to objections. You know, you can't, you know, convince somebody through argument that because, you know, I think it was Dale Carnegie who wrote How to Win Friends and Influence People said a man convinced against his will is the same opinion still, right? You can't argue it. So be gentle about your approach and not hard-nosed and aggressive. It just doesn't work now.
Interesting.
Good tips there.
Yeah, that's some good stuff there. I mean, what question? What's I'll throw this one in. What's the sort of, and you don't obviously have to name names, obviously. What's the biggest sort of sales issue you've ever had that you've had to resolve when you think that went okay, or that was a nightmare? Can you bring anything to mind where you think it went really well or it went really badly? Doesn't matter if you can.
That's the thing. I mean, there's been some really good big wins in my career. I used to sell a lot to the big global technology companies, so mm-hmm. the likes of Amazon, Google, Facebook, as they were, Meta now, and Microsoft. And I think some of the most satisfying wins have come from those guys, especially when I've been dealing with people from those companies in Europe.
Yeah.
When a lot of their decision making has been done in the US, but I've got their people over here to really start to question what they're doing and think that there's a better way that I'm suggesting to them. And yeah. they take it on board and then take it back to the US. And then from the US, it goes global. And I've seen that happen in two or three of those global yeah. tech companies where little old me had influenced something here locally yeah. that has then gone global for, let's say, Amazon, for instance, yeah. right? And that has been probably one of the most satisfying things when yeah. I've seen that happen, that just something that I've done here locally has had that global
yeah.
impact.
Yeah.
So that's maybe an example of something that went really well.
Yeah. Sounds good. And if somebody does want to get in touch with you, Neil, and find out more about what you do or get help in some way, one of the three things you suggested, what might that be? What's the best way?
Okay, so LinkedIn is probably the best way. If you search for Neil Roberts Sales Professional, you'll find me. Or under Momentum Sales Consulting, there's a company page there as well. MomentumSalesConsulting.com is the website. But I've thoroughly enjoyed coming to your networking events, I might say.
Oh, thank you.
So looking for, I think I've been to all three of the face-to-face venues now.
Do you have a preference?
Well, look, I'm from York, right? So, I'm from York. I live near York. My accent suggests I'm not from York. That's my nearest venue, shall we say. So, and I love the Grand as a venue. I thought that was
tremendous. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, we like that one.
So I may just say that was my favourite, I suppose.
Yeah. Always good to see you at our events.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you for your time today. We appreciate it, don't we?
You're welcome. It's been great. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Sharing a few tips with us. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Well, you take care, Neil, and we'll hopefully see you again soon.
All the best. See you soon, Neil.
Thank you very much. Take care. Okay. All the best.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.
We're almost at the end of this week's show. And just as a reminder before we go, don't forget to book your place at one of our online networking events where you can meet some great business owners and build those business relationships. If you're in the Leeds, York or Harrogate area, then why not come along to one of our face-to-face events to meet us? The best business comes from the best relationships. The link is in the show notes.
Do you wish you could network with more confidence? We understand the challenges that you face, whether you're new to networking or simply looking to improve your skills. Our networking know-how course will take you through the process and provide you with practical tips and techniques to help you make more meaningful connections.
We'd also like to mention our books, which are available on Amazon. How to Improve Your Business Networking Skills, 52 Tips to Help You With Your Networking. Our Notably Networking One-to-One Networking Notebook, a place to keep all your notes from those all-important follow-up one-to-ones. And last, but not least, our 90 Days to Your Success journal, where you can plan, set and plot the actions you will take to achieve your goals.
Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for joining us this week on In Business Talks to Friday Fix. We hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have, all that we ask is that you simply tell a friend about the show. And please follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd really appreciate it. Until next time, this is Ian and Tracy. And together,
we are in business.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.